I'm going to get to my message in a moment. I'm going to read something to you first. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. We've sang some songs tonight. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see. I want to be Isaiah and see what Isaiah saw. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up. In verse 1, high and exalted, seated on a throne. I want to see you high and lifted up. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may see you with my heart. And if I truly see you with my heart, high and lifted up and exalted on the throne, I won't be able to say anything else but holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of His glory. If you want to catch a glimpse of God, He wants you to see. He wants to show you. He wants to show you. And if you'll do that, you'll never worship the same again. And if you do, I'll give you your money back. I'm that confident. Have you ever just thought about it, though? The Lord God Almighty, seated on His throne. One day we're going to be there for real. That song that we that was made popular several years back now. What will I do? Will I can only imagine. Will I stand? Will I fall down to my knees? Will I? What will I don't even know. Time will tell, and I'll know when I get there. But I can't even imagine the greatness of God Almighty. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't want to give you a glimpse of it today. Today, tonight, right here in this place. In Acts chapter 10, if you have your Bibles there, you can turn to Acts chapter 10. We're going to start in about verse 9. This is a, it's a fairly popular passage. It's Peter's vision, the Apostle Peter gets a vision. And in that vision, here in verse 9 it says, about noon the following day. Your Bible may say about the sixth hour. They started about 6 o'clock, where the day, the hours counts in the morning. So noon is about the sixth hour. And as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. It was noontime. He became hungry and he wanted something to eat. While the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." This is my brother-in-law's favorite verse. In the King James, it says, "Arise, kill and eat." And he's a hunter, and so he's like, "That's my verse. I need that verse." The Lord said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that the Lord has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back into heaven. Now, why would Peter say, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean." Why would he say that? You got to go back to the Old Testament. And what did the Old Testament say about slithery, crawly things and some of the four-footed animals? They were unclean. They were the Jewish dietary laws. And they weren't, you know, to be a good Jew, you didn't eat certain things. You didn't eat, they don't know about smoked sausage on a stick, I'm telling you. Okay? They don't know about bacon. They don't know about fried rattlesnake. They don't know about catfish. Okay? There's all certain things that they were just, that the Lord had told them, these are the things you don't eat. Okay? Well, these there are the things that were in that sheet that was being lowered down. And God said, "Rise, kill and eat." And Peter looked up there and he went, "Is this a trick question?" He says, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean." And God says, "Don't call anything unclean that I've made clean." While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guests. Lots of things going on here. Okay, you have religious law. You have cultural law coming into play. God put all these things that Peter would have seen as unclean, undesirable, things I stay clear of. I don't want to associate with that. In that sheet, along with other things that were good, that were clean, okay, according to the law. All of it was in that same sheet together. And the Lord said, "Arise, kill and eat." Peter, no, I'm not going to do that, Lord. Law forbids it. Your law forbids it, right? All that stuff was together in one sheet. And I believe that signifies something. I believe, I've preached this passage many, many times, and most often I've preached it from a viewpoint of prejudice, cultural differences, that kind of thing, about how, you know, we need to understand that we're all in the sheet together. We're all the clean, unclean, and guess what? God says, don't call any of it unclean. We're all clean. Yeah, but what about these people? Well, did God not make them too? What about those? What about these people that have done this to themselves? You know, we want people to come to our church, but not the long-haired people, not the people that shave their heads. We want them in the middle of the road. We don't want the dark-skinned people. We don't want the really, 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 really albino skin people. We want kind of the middle of the road. We want a kind of a good mixture here. We don't want fat people. We don't want skinny people. We don't want tattooed people. We don't want, you know, there's all kinds of things that go. Y'all are looking at me like I'm just way off the limb, and I'm the only one that has ever even entertained that thought, right? Yeah. Okay. And I've preached this sermon before on that, and if somebody walks through our door in the back, are they going to be received? Are they going to be viewed as someone that God says, don't call unclean that which I've made clean? Matter of fact, I've sent them to you for you to minister to them, which is what happened in Peter's case. You see, before this, Cornelius, now who was Cornelius? A Roman soldier, a fellow Jew, right? No, not a fellow Jew. He was a Roman. He was a Gentile. Okay? He had two classifications. If you're a Jew, you had Jews and everybody else. Okay? Well, he was in the category of everybody else. He was the one in the sheet. And Peter said, "Ah, no, unclean, unclean, unclean." Well, he had had a vision. He had had a vision about Peter. The Lord had given him a vision about Peter. And then here, the Lord gives Peter a vision, not specifically about Cornelius, but yet about the cultural barrier which he had to conquer, tackle first before he could entertain Cornelius. Had Peter not seen this vision and the Lord not given him that, when they knocked on his house, what do you think Peter might would have said? "I'm busy. I'm preaching a funeral that day. I'm sorry. No can do." I don't know for sure, but we know that Peter had to he had to deal with some stuff firsthand, okay? So the thing, I'm not going to go into all that the prejudice and accepting and all that stuff tonight. I want to look at it from a different angle tonight. Who draws people to salvation? Who else? I'm sorry, who else? Okay. Which is God Himself, right? And who else? No one else? No one else draws people to salvation? Okay. Only God can save. Only God could save the centurion. But how did He choose to do it? Huh? He uses us. So therefore, we all do. Okay? Only God can save, but He uses us to draw. Okay? Only God draws, only God can save people. But God uses us as His instruments. My question to you tonight is this. Are you a willing instrument in the hands of what kind of God? A holy, holy, holy God. The one we bow down before. Who is seated high and exalted on His throne. Who fills the temple with smoke, and His whole train of His robe fills the temple. And it's that kind of God that we're bowed down before. And He says, "I want to use you." And you say, "Do we? Do we? We should. We should." Paul said, "Peter," and this is like the Mike Nix version, okay? Because I'm not going to follow exactly word for word Scripture. Matter of fact, I'm going to go way off course here, but still carry the same idea, okay? "Peter, I want to send you to the Gentile nation. I want you to start with this Roman centurion, this guard, this commander of guards. And I know you don't think that that's the right thing to do, but I'm telling you it is, because I made them too. And they, I'm going to open up an opportunity for salvation to them. And guess what, Peter? You get to be the point man in making that happen. And God may be saying to you, friend, guess what? That person that sits across the cubicle from you at work, that person that's working on that bench next to you, that person that you're sitting next to in class, that person living in your home, I'm going to even draw them to salvation. And you get the privilege. Congratulations, you've won the prize, and you get to be the one. You get to be the one to show them and explain to them, I've done my part with them. I've already begun the process there of drawing, and I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you." And you say what? That's the Sunday school answer. Well, if you're going to call Him Lord, that's the truth. The problem is that we think that when God gives commands, We think they're suggestions. We think they're optional. We think that, well, I know that's what God really wants, but it doesn't really fit in with my plan. It doesn't really, you know, Peter, well, I've got things to do here for my people. Let me deal with my people first. And then we'll, and, you know, if there's time and I feel like it and I come to like them yet, then maybe I'll go. You know, and Peter said, no, God said, no, you're going to go right now. Matter of fact, you need to have to go because they're coming to you. I've already set it up. Talk about a divine appointment. So Peter, he says, all right, I get it. Because he was still wondering about this vision. He's like, what is it? What is it? And I think he was struggling with it in his mind. I don't think he was wondering, what could this be? I think he was thinking, I think I know what the Lord's saying here, but I'm not sure I want it to be what the Lord is saying here. I think I want it to let me just pray about that a little while. Let me just pray some more. Let me just pray some more until maybe God changes his mind about what he just told me. Let me just pray a little more. And then they show up, and he's got to make a decision. And what does he do? He invites them into the house. He invites them in as his guest. The next day, Peter started out with some of them, or started out with them, and some of the believers also came along, which is nice, right? And then he arrived in Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting him, and he called his relatives and everybody and his close friends, and they entered the house. Later on, Peter tells him, he says, you're well aware that it's against the law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent to you, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? And then Cornelius goes in and he explained to him his vision. And says, I need you to tell me. I need you to tell me about Jesus. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I don't know how. I need you to do that. I need you to show me. I need you to tell me. Folks, there's nothing more powerful than being able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been able to do that countless times. This last week, or 2 weeks ago at camp, kids that I have known for 2 days come up and they want to know about Jesus, and I get to share with them. And that's great. That's awesome. And every time that is amazing. Okay? But have you ever experienced when you have that opportunity with somebody you've known for years and years and years? Maybe you've been praying for that person for years and years and years, and then God has begun to do a work in them. And he tells you, you're the point man. I've begun the process. Now go seal the deal. Close the deal on this one. And that is a, like Ed Young says, that takes it to a whole nother level. And I just want to encourage you. Yes, we need to be, we need to see things the way God sees things. We need to see people the way God sees people. That they are all children of God, okay? Not all the family of God, okay? But we are all His creation. And the Bible tells me, when it says that He desires that none should perish, but that there's a number He puts on that. How many percent? All people should come to know Him, right? That's not an exclusive. That is an all-inclusive. He wants everyone to have an opportunity. May we be faithful. May we be faithful. Whether we're working a booth at the carnival, whether we're introducing ourselves to visitors, we had like 6 or 7 visitors today, whether we're standing in line at the dreaded Walmart line when there's one checkout open, right? Let me tell you something. Maybe God has preordained that there only be one checkout line for you to go to so that you have to stand next to somebody and he gives you like 35 minutes to talk. Don't call anything unclean. As God is preparing somebody's hearts, he's also looking for willing people to go and be what he's called you to be. Folks, he's called every one of us to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the love, to share the knowledge, to share the share scripture, to share share who God is, okay? To be the hands and feet of Jesus. When we think about people that do that, we think about the people that go to Kenya and live in a grass hut, right? We think about people down in the Amazon or Peruvian jungle. We think about people in third world countries that go in and dig water wells for these people that don't have water. We think about these missionaries that go way to the far ends of the earth, and thank God that they do that, okay? But you don't have to go very far to be a missionary. Matter of fact, if you will just tell God, don't cough at him. But if you'll tell him, Lord, I'm willing and I'm here, he'll do like he did for Peter. He'll send them to you. He'll send them to you. But it begins here in the heart. It begins with you saying, here I am. Here I am. Lord asked Isaiah, who will go? Who will go for us? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Of course, I'm the only other one in the room. But yes, I'm willing. Send me. And if we will yield ourselves to the Lord, he will use you in ways you could never, ever imagine. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. That's scary. That's a scary thought sometimes, okay? It's a scary thought. Until you talk yourself into it. I'm going to preach a sermon about that sometime where you got to talk yourself into it. You just start telling yourself, wait a minute. Who is it that I'm really serving here? God wants me to do this. Is there really a question in my mind? The only question is, do I really call him my Lord? And if I do, then there's no question about do I follow what he's asking me to do or not. That's right. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. And let me tell you something, folks. That may be a little bit hard to believe in this day and age. When we read about, is it Milwaukee? The things that are happening up there. The things happening over in the Middle East. The things happening down in Houston, Texas. The things happening in Cleveland, Texas. You don't have to go very far and you can get pretty bummed out about what's going on in some places. Okay? But the Bible says the whole earth is full of his glory. Why is that? How can that be? If there are dark places, how can that the whole earth be full of his glory? You know why it is? It's because some people say, yes, I'll go. I'll go into that dark place. I'm going to talk myself into it. Because if the Lord is for me, who can be against me? And I will go. And the Lord has called each and every one of us to be that person. To go. To stand up and say, look, I'm putting all my prejudices, my feelings, all my stuff aside. Because really, in the end, they don't matter. God's will matters. And I'm on God's team. I hope you had an encouragement. I'm going to have to quit. I hope you got an encouragement this morning. I was encouraged by that. Tonight, I just wanted to remind us, as God calls us to go, and he does, he calls every one of us to go, he is already preparing where we're going. The question is, not whether God's done the preparation work. The question is, are we willing? Are we willing? Any closing comments on that tonight? I want to give you an opportunity to share, to testify, to... Lord, prepare us. What a great prayer. Anybody else? Father in heaven, we love you. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you use us. Father, may we be willing. May we be willing. And Father, I believe the truth is this. Until we truly grasp who you are, we're probably not going to be willing to go. We're probably not going to be willing to be obedient until we truly grasp who you are. But Father, on the other side, if we ever truly grasp who you are, there's no other thing we could be but obedient, but willing. So Lord, I pray that tonight you would show us who you are. I pray that each and every person tonight, when they lay their head down on their bed or whenever, that they would cry out to you, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see what Isaiah saw. And that when we see you, Lord, we're like Moses. Just the backside was too much to handle. But Lord, when we see you, we would be so compelled and willing that when you say, who will, before you can get the next word out of your mouth, we're saying, it's me, I will. I don't even need to know what it is yet, I'm just willing. Oh Lord, I get goosebumps when I think about what would happen in this place if we united as a body of Christ and had that spirit. Lord, make it so. Make it so. Lord, make it rain in this place. Lord, change us. Change us. Continue to grow us and stretch us and remind us, Lord, it's not all about us. The church never was intended to be solely a country club for the members. It's always meant to be an arm of evangelism. Let us never forget. Never forget. Use us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.